all those things that we're storing, if we're storing shame, that's really common in high achievers. Feel shame for not, I should have tried harder. I should have done more. Why didn't I do better? That's energy being stored in an unhelpful place because it's waiting to be turned into a lesson. And so if we can look at that, and with a coach or with a friend or even in our journal, we can get to the truth of the matter. What really happened?
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Are you spending too much money on ads? Want to increase your average order value? Are you eyeing that big exit from your business? Or have you been wondering how you can increase your lifetime value, build a community, and basically make more money through customer loyalty and retention? Let us help. Huckleberry Consulting brings over a decade of experience in client and customer success from the world's biggest companies. Let your customers tell you what they want. Visit consulthuckleberry.com to claim your free audit and quit leaving money on the table. Once again, that's consulthuckleberry.com. See you there.
All right. Good morning. This is Carla once again, and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. It's still January, so everyone is filled with new hopes for the new year. New year, new me. New year's resolutions, plans to go to the gym, plans to fix bad habits of 2024. And usually I start this year by giving you guys some of my biggest lessons, some of my biggest learnings in the year that has passed. I definitely have a few meaningful things that I wanted to share with you, but for this podcast, I wanted to do something different. If you want the things that I wanted to share, you can go to my website, sign up for my newsletter. It's 100% free. And I send weekly emails to all of my followers, everyone in my community, and I've been doing it for 5 years straight. So I just want you guys to be in my inner circle. Go to carlasingson.com/resources to sign up for my free newsletter. For today, I have a special gift for you. We have a great guest. His name is Josh Brock. I actually met him in one of my masterminds, and all of our interactions has been very, very positive. Josh is a life coach, and he's a certified positive intelligence coach. He helps people understand what motivates them and what matters to them. He has spent years studying habit formation and behavioral change, and he has worked with tons of people, has helped tons of people. He's hugely influenced by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. One of the problems he most loves to help with is a secret anxiety that drives many high performers to be great and then turn that into the joy of challenge. And so I know that a lot of my listeners are entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, or basically people who want something more out of their life. So Josh, thank you so much for sitting with me here. Happy New Year. How are you today?
Happy New Year, Carla. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. And that would describe well how I'm doing. I'm doing great.
That's good to know. So Josh is based in Vancouver, and right now I'm in the Philippines. And so we are very different places, very different weathers, and we're both feeling the same positive feeling about the new year. And we both of us wanted to share that, the mindset and the thought process behind that to all of you guys. So actually, a little additional context: over the last 3 years, Josh has run a morning club for entrepreneurs starting at 5 or 6 a.m. and helping them get clear on what matters and start the day with positive momentum. So he has also been lifting weights for 16 years and he loves the gym. And his favorite animal is the dragon because he's a big fantasy nerd. So that's a little trivia for you. If you ever see Josh, in the streets of Vancouver, you can just pretend to be a dragon and he will be an instant friend. So,
Instant friends.
instant friend. So, this new year, I know that most people will have New Year's resolutions and have some time for reflections. So let's dive into it. What do you think are some of the best practices in doing the famous New Year's resolution?
There's a few things that come to mind right away, but I think when I think about entrepreneurs, I think about people who like to go fast, people who like to grow. The entrepreneurs I know, they want to find the shortest, most effective way to get where they want to go. And it's part of what makes this group magical. I include myself in that group. And with every strength comes a weakness. And on the backside of that strength, I see a tendency to want to focus only on what's forward, to jump right into the new year. Yeah, forget about last year. It's time for the new year. Let's move forward. And there can be really important lessons and insights that life has offered that get missed when that happens. And when I work with entrepreneurs, one of the things they want and what I want for them is to continuously grow in understanding what matters to them. Because those are going to be the things that people do the best at. Those are the things people have the most energy for. Those are the things people are willing to get up and do again and again, even when they fail. And so the first best practice I would mention is taking some time to just look at and acknowledge what has happened in the previous period of time, whether it's a year, whether it's a month, and going a step further than that, but actually documenting it. Because our past is something that's always changing, and it changes because we change and we're the ones who are looking at it. And so it can be really easy not to feel like anything's changing or making any progress. You jump into another year and you get that initial boost of motivation. That's so great. Things are going to be awesome. But then within a couple of weeks or a month, it wears off and you end up repeating the same mistakes from the previous year. So the first thing I'd say is take some time to just really look at what happened in the previous year. The second thing I would say is, and interrupt me at any point if you want to dig into these a little bit more, but we can come back to it. The second point I would say, which is related to the first, is to take some time to acknowledge and celebrate those things that you're finding. And so much weird, icky stuff comes up around celebration. Especially in high achievers, a lot of people know they should be celebrating, they want to be celebrating, but it's hard or they just don't make time for it. But people learn a lot about themselves when they start celebrating their wins. One, they see how far they've come and it motivates them in the times when things aren't going as well. And two, they realize that some of the things that they're working hard on maybe aren't that important to them and don't really need to be getting so much attention.
That's true. Yeah. That's actually true because a lot of entrepreneurs hold themselves to a very high standard in a lot of things. And sometimes even a little bit of setback will really hurt them. And I've experienced this myself. I have really high standards on everything, my health, my relationship, like who I am as a sister, me as a leader in my company, my business. And it seems like every single metric, no, for lack of a better term, we entrepreneurs love metrics, KPIs, things like that. If one metric is off, it seems like I would throw all the other nine metrics that were great, and I would let it ruin my day. In the past, this is what I did. And you're absolutely right. It's definitely very important to take a breather, give yourself a pat on the back for everything that has gone right in your life, and start your reflection with that. Then you're starting off on a positive note. What are some of the mistakes that people encounter when doing New Year's resolutions or doing this like end of the year review?
Yeah, well, I think with the end of the year review, first off, a lot of people say they're going to do it, they want to do it, and then they just don't make the time to do it. And one of the most common reasons I think that happens, assuming that the person actually wants to do it, because that's a separate issue. Sometimes people hear from someone else that they should do it, they don't really know why they're doing it, and then they feel guilty for no reason. But assuming that's not the issue, a really big challenge that comes with it is that people make it this big thing that they got to do. Oh, I got to sit down. I got to go through everything the whole year. I got to make sure I get everything and all the lessons. And when I say people, I mean me. That's the biggest hurdle that I encounter when I'm doing this review. So much information going in my head. I want to do it right. I want to set a good example. But the best thing to do is just to start, just to say, you know what? Okay, I'm gonna just, here's the first step. And I have a step that people can take. And the first, a really easy step for an end of year review is take 6 months of the year, give yourself 10 minutes to 15 minutes on a timer, just set the timer, and then go through and find 1 to 5 things, bullets for each of those 6 months. Start with the most recent months because they'll be easier. Start with December, then go to November, and then keep going back. And just come up with 1 to 5 things. Progress, learning, challenges, important experiences, and our memory automatically filters for the things that are most important to us. That's how our memory works. So just by going through it automatically, you're going to come up with the things that right now are most important to you. And set time for 10 minutes, it forces you into action. And if that's still too difficult, there's one more tip you can do, which is you can just do one at a time. So December, come up with one thing, then November, one thing, all the way back 6 months, and then start again in December, get the second thing for December, and keep going, and it'll work.
So that's basically like your highlight, the highlights of your year. I totally agree with that. Actually, as you're talking, I was running through the months in my head, and yeah, certain memories definitely come up. Not, some of them are good, some of them are bad, but like it's a good way for me to see, wow, these are the things that pop up. These are the things that my memory holds as important or declared as important to me. So and then I can start reflecting on that. What is a good way for you to, or what do you recommend is a good way for someone to reflect? Is it through journaling? Because it seems like you said like write down. Is that better than say voice notes or talking to AI or something like that?
Truthfully, that's a really new evolution. I've started playing with AI, and I love the way that AI can take a lot of information and consolidate it for me, repeat it back to me, show me what I'm seeing, in a way that acts similar to a coach. That's a different value I find than writing it down, which forces me to slow my mind down and pick only a couple things. And I have a tendency, personally, I'm a rambler. I think a lot. And so it's easy to just add a lot of stuff. And when I force myself to just write down a few things, it really forces me to just focus on what's important. And so they're both great strategies. They each have different advantages. And if you're someone like me who tends to overthink and have a lot of thoughts, I find that the writing it down is the best.
I have a little tip for you for that. One of the things when I was a copywriter, a lot of the copywriters usually share that they're very verbose. Because they and it's really hard to cut their words down, and same thing like, oh, I ramble, I like talking, I like words, I love words. And then, one of the things that I told them is, and I've done every year, is I would join a poetry workshop because learning how to write poetry forces you to say the most in the least with the least amount of words, right? Like a haiku, right? Five syllables, seven syllables, five syllables, but you have to say a lot. But like, I don't know if you enjoy poetry, but like a lot of really good poetry, like it says a lot with the least amount of words. And it's so hard. Like when I go to these workshops, I'm like, why did I do this? Why did I? But if it's a writing workshop, like you actually have to have a poem at the end of the workshop, I'm always very proud of myself. But trust me, it is worse than deep cleaning my house. But it is it's such a good exercise. So I would love for you to try it. I would love for you to
You
try
know,
it sometime.
I have a good friend actually who specializes in poetry workshops. So I actually know just the person to
Ooh,
talk to that I'm going to do a poetry
awesome.
workshop.
Awesome. Okay, I'm so excited to hear about that. Yeah, and of course, for any of our listeners who are curious about it, you guys should check out a lot of poetry workshops that are accessible to you. I really like your point on also trusting our bodies, trusting our minds, right? When you said that certain memories will just come up because it automatically filters what's important to you. And then you can take a look and be objective. How important is this really to me, or did I make this a bigger deal than it was? Let's talk about optimism. So when we are in the process of trying to look at the past and then preparing for the future, how do we start maintaining, or how do we start being on like a positive mindset no matter what happened last year?
Two strategies that come to mind. One of them's a bit quicker, and one of them is a bit more powerful, significantly more powerful. So the quick one would be some version of what I would call PQ. And PQ reps are essentially a form of mindfulness. Dr. Shehrzad Shamim, he is the founder of Positive Intelligence, and there's a whole course on it, but it's essentially getting our mind out, getting our focus away from our thoughts and into our body. And so there's a lot of ways to do that. But basically, you can use exercise, you can focus on physical sensations, you can focus on your breathing, you can focus on smells, but generally, it's bringing our sensation or focus to one of our five senses. And you could use activities that charge you up, you're reading your favorite audiobook, like. Part of that is just the skill of knowing what are the things that lift you up. And a level deeper is knowing in what situations are the things that boost you up. And if you're feeling exhausted, is a run going to charge you up? For some people, maybe the answer is yes. But for other people, it might be that's the wrong time for a run. That's the time to watch a funny video or something like that. But I'd say for those people, it's best that you know yourself. But there's a few tried and true things. I mean, exercise, laughing, crying,
Karaoke.
listening to your favorite song, karaoke, mango floats. I think those could work really well. That's a new thing I might try. But those are things. Just change your state.
I love that.
Quick, know yourself. And the great thing is, every time you do it, if you're intentional about it, you're going to learn yourself better. The second group, more powerful. It goes back to the reflection at the end of the year. And there's a tool that I like to use that David Hawkins created, and it's a scale of human consciousness. And it basically signifies a different energy level for each emotion. And you can look at the scale and you can pick out where your emotion is on whatever that bad thing is that happened. But if you're labeling it as bad, if you're having a negative reaction to it, there is something unresolved in you that if you can clear up and get to the truth, will be a powerful opportunity for learning. And all those things that we're storing, if we're storing shame, that's really common in high achievers, just shame for not, I should have tried harder, I should have done more, why didn't I do better? That's energy being stored in an unhelpful place because it's waiting to be turned into a lesson. And so if we can look at that and with a coach or with a friend or even in our journal, we can get to the truth of the matter. What really happened? Oh, I didn't achieve the goal that I wanted to. Okay, well, what was missing? Well, maybe I put my energy in the wrong place. Maybe I didn't have the right skills. Maybe I needed more support. But the more you can zoom in away from I was lazy, I didn't do enough, et cetera, you could get to the truth of the matter. You can learn from it and transform it into appreciation and gratitude. And once you can make that transformation, it becomes something exciting that automatically leads to, I can't wait to apply this in 2025.
I love that. I love those things. I've actually seen that scale before, And made me feel a little uncomfortable, honestly, because like the feeling and like the where it is in the consciousness scale. I don't know, I just felt like I was grading myself. You know what I mean? Maybe because I'm Asian and I'm like, ah, PTSD from school. I need to be a top performer. Maybe it's that if I was a third party listening to myself, that's what my theory is. But I will look into that again now that I have a fresh perspective on it. And I like what you shared about just changing your physical state and knowing yourself. Knowing yourself is so important. And that's why I'm a huge believer of meditation, because just sitting with yourself in silence really helps a lot. For me, I have a playlist. I have a like a feel good playlist on my phone, and I like doing karaoke because I'm Filipino, so it always makes me feel good. And I recently read that one of the reasons for that is because singing stimulates your vagus nerve. So I love that little tidbit as well. So what about you? What are these things that give you a positive boost?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I also sing and I play guitar,
Nice, me
and
too.
you play, okay? Yeah, I play a lot of pop songs, really. Whatever I'm into at the time, and I combine singing, guitar, and crying when I'm really in the feels. When I'm really in the feels,
So you're telling me you're basically Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, except my hair is darker. My hair is better. My hair is better than Ed Sheeran. So I guess I'm better than Ed
Let
Sheeran.
the
Yeah. Didn't make the rules.
reflect. Oh my gosh. No, I totally agree with you. Sometimes I would be in the mood to be emotional. My favorite way is looking at watching The Voice like videos of yeah, The Voice. That's the contest where they turn around, right? And then they see you, they see the singer. I love that. I love watching those because I love that moment when they turn around and the singer like sees the star, and then the star sees the singer, and they just have this connection. And then usually the song is obviously like something great, something emotional, something, you know, all that like makes me cry for some reason. And then I feel like a great release. So yeah, it's funny. Most of our both of our examples are related to music.
Yeah, it's powerful. Growing up, I think expressing my emotions was really difficult for me growing up. And music was, before I even knew what it was me trying to find a way to express my feelings. Music is a really good one. When I'm feeling low, it's like I just start playing, and it's pretty reliable. A few other ones that I like: going to the gym to me constitutes something scary. I lift heavy weights, and so every time it feels sort of like a battle. I'm going to war. Hope I don't get injured. It's heavy. I'm really getting into it. And I feel so relaxed after. I feel like a different person. But that one's a bit harder. That's like a real investment. Walking and listening to an audiobook, I've got different flavors. I've got a few Bibles that I listen to that in different contexts will really just pull me out of where I'm at. And those are some of my go-tos. And then meditation, obviously.
Same. I like I will add one thing. I like music as well. I honestly, I think it's the fastest, cheapest way, basically free way to just change your state based on where you are in life and how you want to feel. I also like going to the gym. I like doing the incline walk and just like watching a funny movie on the treadmill. And then lastly is I like going to the arcade. I go to the arcade probably like once a week. Because for me it's very meditative when I play certain games that helps me focus, and it's just me and the game, you know. And of course it's low stakes. It's like, what am I spend? $30 max, right? It's like the cheapest casino you'll ever find. And then I get to kind of I get to have a little goal and then feel good about it. So whether it's like a fighting game, I love playing certain fighting game. I love playing like Pac-Man, whatever, stupid games, just like childish games. But for me, it's very relaxing. It's very meditative. And literally, I meditate when I play these games. Like I literally like control my breathing. It's so funny. I like such a nerd. But I really enjoy it. I really, really enjoy it. So yeah, thanks for sharing your little guilty pleasures as well.
Guilty pleasures.
Guilty pleasures. Oh, what was the saying? There's no such thing as guilty pleasures, just pleasures.
I've heard that before. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, I know. Sounds like an
One other
OnlyFans
thing,
slogan. Sorry.
and only thing, yeah, it really does. I wasn't going to go there, but it does sound dirty. One other I'm going to add that's really cheesy. But it can be a little bit controversial because I think it could be misused. But another one that I use often when I'm feeling low is whatever it is the feeling that I want, I try to give that feeling to somebody else.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. That's a good feeling. That's why charity is very uplifting. And it actually helps you more than it helps them emotionally. There's been studies about it. So I like that. That's true, but sometimes it takes a mature person to do that, you know, like when you say whatever I want, I will give that like what if I wanted empathy, how am I going to give that to someone if I'm not even feeling 100% because it's such a powerful emotion and a great gift to give. So yeah, I may need to mature more to get there.
It definitely there's times where it's not accessible to me either. It's one of the tools. And breaking it down a bit for me a bit further into what is the need that I have. For example, if it's a need of feeling accepted, or if it's a need to feel safe, or if it's a need to feel liked, whatever it is, then I'll try to give that to someone else. And it might just be a message that I send to someone. I find that's a really easy way to do it. Like a text message, because I'm not with them. It doesn't matter how they respond to it. I could just send it, and then I feel better. It's kind of selfish. I just send them a nice message. I get to feel better. Who knows what happens on the other end?
True. And you know what? Another thing that pops up for me as a business owner is I used to do and I still do this actually, like when I was starting out and I didn't have a lot of leads, instead of going out and asking for leads, I was just giving people leads, introducing people to them. I was trying just to be a useful person and trying to give. And it also made me feel good that I am helping other businesses grow and I'm just basically putting in my deposit for good karma, right? So I always encourage other people who are starting their businesses that instead of you're going out there asking for leads, just try to connect people, try to give, and give, and you will be surprised how much that comes back to you. So I totally am on board on that train.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story.
Yeah. Let's talk about like overcoming resistance. So a lot of entrepreneurs are super busy. They're not only busy physically, they're also their mental like space or the mental load of running a business is also pretty heavy. So for entrepreneurs who struggle to start sticking with new habits or sticking with, say, their New Year's resolutions due to the overwhelming demands of their business, what is your advice for them?
A couple things. It is tough, and when you're wearing a lot of hats and it feels like you're being pulled in 20 directions, one more direction is just feels impossible. And a few things. One, I'd say, is there a way that this new habit could help you with the things that you're struggling with? If you could connect it so that it feels like it's actually a help. And for example, if one of your goals is to meditate, Right. And you think, oh, when am I going to make time to meditate? How could I use meditation in a way that would help me deal with my customers, for example? You know, if
Right.
you could find a way, it's like,
Right.
oh, you know what? When I'm feeling overwhelmed, my productivity totally goes down. If I could take 2 minutes, you know, when I'm getting into my email and I could just ground myself, maybe that could help me with it. And then once someone has an experience of like, it actually did help me, I actually really helped this client better than I could have. There's an emotional component that makes the habit easier to stick with. And I urge my clients to get to that emotional component. Just keep yourself in the game long enough to have that emotional component where you have an experience of, wow, that actually really helped me. Because we
Yeah.
start, I think, often with an intellectual piece, which is like,
Right.
well, meditation's good. The science
Right.
says that I should. My friends are meditating and I'm not. I feel kind of bad about it. And it's not really a strong resolve. But once it starts to change our life, everybody knows that person who's just raving about this new meditation or this new
Yeah.
program or this new supplement.
Yeah.
That person's not going to quit.
That's true. And I like the rationalization of like, well, if you're struggling with these things, this will help with that, because that's something that we can easily connect in our minds as entrepreneurs. And yeah, I totally agree. That makes it super easy. Just like asking yourself, what is the benefit? What is the benefit? Right. And so for me, it's like one of my struggles is with my nutrition. I do a lot of wellness things. I exercise every day, almost every day. If I don't, or I do a lot of like I active, I stay active every day. If it's not going to the gym, it's going to be Pilates, yoga, swimming, walking 10,000 steps. I'm always active. I got that down. I love my sleep. I have a great supplement stack. I always fall short on nutrition because I get tempted. I get tempted with like sugar and, you know, crispy pork belly. It's very, very hard to say no to. And rice, right? So like, of course, rice is part of my DNA. And then other stuff, like especially when I'm traveling or I'm traveling to the Philippines, there's all this food that has a lot of nostalgia that comes with them. And then I struggle with my nutrition. And then I ask myself, if I ask myself, how is being healthier or lighter, you know, there's still some pounds that I need to lose, going to help me with my goals? I think I really like that. I'm thank you for that suggestion. I'm gonna start reflecting on that.
Yeah, and specifically, if in those moments of temptation, you could develop a habit of just remembering, huh, what is like, what am I going for here? Why is it that I'm telling myself not to eat rice and pork belly? Because it tastes really good. I mean, there's a really strong case for it right here in my nose that's saying I should eat this.
Right.
To then look into it, okay, but hold on, can I just remember what is the other side? Is there another side to this? Because it feels a lot like I should just eat this pork belly. And then the second thing, and I think this is the simplest thing that people almost never do when they're looking to change habits. Like, super simple, people never do it. And people resist it. And I love playing with people on this. I love pushing on them. And I say, call, you're a liar. It's not true. It's to look at the opposite. What is the payoff that you're getting from this thing that you don't want to do? Because if you're struggling not to do it, there's a big part of you that wants to do it. And people don't want to look at that part. They don't want to say, oh, there's a part of me that loves smoking cigarettes or hitting my vape. There's a part of me that loves just sitting on the couch and not going to the gym. And people love to hide that part and say, no, I'm better than that. I know that I shouldn't be sitting on the couch. I should go to the gym.
Ooh. Yeah, that's an ugly reckoning. Yeah, that even hearing that made me feel a little uncomfortable right now. It made me shift my seat and I'm like, oh my God, all those pork bellies.
But if you can look at it and get comfortable looking at it, then you can understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to empower people to do, is to just look and understand what's going on. Like,
Yeah.
don't make yourself better than you are or worse than you are. Just take a look at what is happening on in your, happening in your physiology right now. Okay, I'm craving sweet foods. Why is that? Is it because I'm stressed? Is it because I'm missing a sense of home? Is it because I'm bored? What is it? And if you can get to the root of what that payoff is, then you can use your mind to choose other ways to fulfill it. Maybe.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Actually, I have unknowingly applied that thinking to social media addiction or like being addicted to my device. So I used to, obviously, you and I are online entrepreneurs. We do a lot of business online with our phones, with our laptops. And one day I saw this TED talk, which was like, our day is just full of screens. You wake up, you look at your phone, you use your phone to go to the gym or whatever. You watch something when you're eating. You go to work on your laptop. You watch something when you're driving home. You're watching some, it's all screens. There's a GPS on your car. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so true. And that's I feel bad. And I also realized during the pandemic when I was clocking my screen time, I was using my phone for like 12 hours a day. And I had no idea. I had no idea. And when I dove into it was because I tied looking at social media as my relaxation. Like, for example, if I'm tired, I'd be like, let me just get on my phone to relax, you know, something like that. And then it became like super connected in my brain. And now I'm not addicted to my phone anymore. I just do it if I have to or because of work, and I always don't go beyond what is, you know, healthy. And it is because it is now just work for me. It has completely, it is not a relaxation thing for me. I have other things now to relax. I bought a Kindle. I love my Kindle. I'm obsessed with my Kindle. I read probably 7 books a month. Most of them are, yeah, I'm seriously,
Just
I'm
get that for the
obsessed.
audience. 7 books a month.
I know. Yeah, I
Not a year, a
honestly,
month.
yeah, in a month. I recently have started last year's I started reading fiction again, and I really enjoyed it, and I forgot how much I enjoyed it. I read psychological thrillers mostly. So, you know, for my second career, when I exit my business, I'm gonna work in the missing persons unit.
I know how this one goes. I know how this ends. It's
Exactly.
gonna be you. That's gonna be you.
Yeah, seriously. And there
Yeah.
are and I love that I'm excited about it again. There's some books that I couldn't wait to get home to. And I love this version of me. Instead of before, I was just like scrolling on my phone, and then 3 hours go by. Do you have any similar story, any similar like bad habit that you were able to kick by using that strategy?
Wow, the first thing that comes to mind, I don't know where this is going to go, but I had an addiction to food,
Oh,
and
I hear you.
it was binge eating, and I would fantasize about it. I would look forward to it. It sounds a little bit like your murder mysteries. I'd be like, I can't wait till I'm just going to
You're
get,
like the Dexter
six,
of
7 months.
food.
I'm going to dissect it with my mouth. For the longest time, I thought I just had this appetite problem because I could just keep eating and eating and eating like an obscene amount of food, guys. Like, if you think you can eat a lot, I'm gonna say 99.9% of the people listening who think they eat a lot or they don't know what we're talking about here. I remember like a 12-pound dinner once.
Oh my God.
I wouldn't
That's a
recommend
baby,
that. But
John.
anyways.
That's a fat
Yeah,
baby.
that's a big baby. That's
Yeah. I was a 5.5 pound baby, so that's like
two
two
of you.
babies.
For me, that food symbolized control. And the feeling that I would get is feeling like I have control over my own life. And it's kind of backwards because I would
Okay.
restrict myself all through the weeks, which is, control, but it didn't feel like it's what I was choosing. It felt like it's what I had to do. And I think there might be a lesson in this that applies in a lot of ways in life for people listening, of times when we make these rules for ourselves that are different than what we actually want to do. There's such an easy, subtle line between making systems to help us do the things we want to do and making systems to help us do the things we should do, we think we're supposed to do. It's such a subtle line, and I was caught on the other side of it. And it wasn't until I started to fill my life with other things that I enjoyed that helped me feel a sense of control that I actually got to choose and wanted in my life, that it started to slowly dissipate. But for a long time, binge eating disorder, and I had no idea what it was. I thought I just had a big appetite, and it was because there was a different need that I just wasn't filling.
I actually recently heard about a word, a phrase that goes with that. They called it food noise. I found out about this when I was reading about my situation. So I have PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. It means that my ovaries may have cysts. I'm at a higher risk for cervical cancer, and my hormones are whack. So when I was younger, I used to have bad acne. It was very hard for me to lose weight, and I always have to manage my hormones and my stress. So I had to like study each hormone, what these does. I had to read about ghrelin, leptin, and all of these cortisol, serotonin, dopamine, whatever, all of these things, just to feel that my body is working great. And I totally agree with you. I used to experience that. I used to experience a lot of food noise. I would wake up in the morning, I would think about food immediately in my head. It was like this obsessive thing. It's like I had this obsessive infatuation on food. And even when I'm eating, I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat next. So
Crazy,
it is
right? I totally
insane.
relate. I totally
Is that what
relate.
you felt?
That was exactly it. It was like there was no break. It was always food,
Exactly.
thinking about food. What's
Right.
next?
Right. Exactly. And I know I would laugh about it because, ahaha, like it's cute, always be thinking about food, especially for a girl, it's cute, right? And it's not just like the pounds, it's all it was the nagging, it was the infatuation, really. That's really the word for it. It's like I'm obsessed with this celebrity that I can't, I can't get enough of. It was insane. And it took me a long time, actually, like hypnosis and reading about hormones, like, oh, this is why I feel, this is why I feel this way. And then having to deal with medication in the past. If any of you guys are listening, and you have a female friend or a sister or a mom who has PCOS, this is a very real thing for us, and our hormones are so whack. So be super careful of like medication. A lot of doctors in developing countries, they just tell you to take the birth control pill because one of the symptoms of PCOS is an irregular period. And sometimes they will just take a birth control pill. It's going to make your period regular. Yes, but it will really destroy a lot of other things in your body. So I wanted to share that. Sorry for hijacking the conversation. Okay, so let's talk about habit replacement. So now we have talked about how to think about certain habits in a certain way, how to tie things in a way that we can rationalize it in our head. So this is a worthy habit to do. How can we, what is the best approach to identify and say replace bad habits? What is the step from like, oh, this is what I used to do, this is what I'm going to do now. How can we make that shift fast or faster and more lasting?
Well, it's a good segue from where we were at. But I think, one, if you understand what the current habit is, you understand what the payoff is of that habit. What is it? What need is it fulfilling for you? And then you come up with a list of what are some other things that could fulfill that need and cross-reference that with things that are aligned with who it is you want to become. And that's, I say that very generally, but yeah, who's your future self? Who are the habits? What are the habits of this person you want to be? If you want to, become a successful business owner, what are the habits that that person would have? What does their lifestyle look like? What are some habits that would fill into that? But generally, I like choose something that's exciting. And that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be something that your former self is excited by, but it has to be something that you can get excited by. Something that you think about, well, I might not be excited about going to the gym right now, but I am really excited about being the kind of person who has a rockin' bod. That gets me excited. So, okay, I could get excited about going to the gym. If every time I went to the gym, I thought about having a rocking bod, that would get me excited. That's the sort of level where you're going to get create the best habits. But I would say if you can't do that, at least do something that you enjoy. Because if it's not something you enjoy and it's not something you can get yourself to enjoy, you will not stick with it.
That's the honestly, that's the simplest argument for exercise, right? There must be something that you enjoy. Not everyone enjoys weightlifting or yoga or Pilates, but there must be something, right? It's impossible. Movement is how our brains grow and honestly how we affirm life, right? Like if you're not moving, you're in a coma. Like, come on. So I think there's always something. Could be dancing, whatever, wall climbing, even hiking or parkour, whatever floats your boat. So I love what you shared about each moment that you are like thinking about forming the habit and like starting there, replacing a bad habit with a good one, asking yourself, who am I or how does this fit into this future me that I'm building? Getting excited about that. I really like that because now your focus is positive instead of like negative, as in you're not a quitter, you know, because sometimes those words matter.
Totally. Yeah, I know those words well. Little aside, I've got about 10 more minutes. So yeah, 10 minutes. And within that, a step before that, and this is something I've helped clients with before, really building on this idea of getting into the positive mindset. I'm a big fan of actions you can do once that make everything easier moving forward. I'm lazy that way. And so, one thing that can be really helpful, usually when people are about to engage in a bad habit, right before they engage in it, their mental space is in a more negative place. If we look at David Hawkins' scale of consciousness, it's in a lower place. It might be pride, it might be desire, it might be fear, guilt, shame. I should do this, or, oh, that would be so good, that cake right now. And so if someone can just interrupt that, just notice that and bring themselves a little bit up the scale, their need might completely disappear for that cake or that crispy pork skin, pork belly. There's the one. And so what this could look like, one example is taking what we talked about earlier, write down in a journal, what are seven benefits that you could see in the future. If you were to stick with this habit of eating clean or whatever, what are seven things that could bring for you? If you could consistently choose not to have the pork belly, what are seven amazing things that could bring into your life? And brainstorm that and have that somewhere that's easy to look at. Or make that part of your morning ritual. If you really want to change a habit, each morning just write, when I feel the craving for the pork belly, this is what it feels like. Here's how I would like to respond. And here's how that would benefit me. If I could respond this way every day for a week, here's where it would get me. If I could respond that way every day for a month, here's where I'd be. If I could do it for a year, here's where I'd be. And it brings our mind to that vision of the future that we want to create and away from this moment, which is filled with temptation and feels inescapable.
Oh, I like that. So I actually wrote that down. So the formula is when you're thinking about this bad habit, you add what kind of response you should do to that or to that feeling or craving, and then tie that to who do you want to be and how does that benefit you? And just having this clear, like, tie, you know, bad habit response, who I am, how this will benefit me, and that formula. I think that's really, really powerful. Thank you for sharing that. Honestly, that is such an easy way to make you that to take that leap, but not make it feel like a leap. It's just you're just walking. You're just walking through these next steps, basically. And it's very easy to distill. So, three things: visualization, accountability, affirmations. If you're going to rank these three things, which one's the most important, or what should an entrepreneur do first and do last? And of course, feel free to add nuances, context. So that's visualization, affirmations, and accountability.
Okay, aside from the cliche answer that it depends who you are and what your skill set is, I would say I'm going to loop vision in with visualization. And that's, to me, that's really knowing where it is that you want to go. And people, I think, sometimes put accountability first. And accountability is like putting gas on a fire. Like, whatever it is that you're doing, if you add accountability, you're going to be better at it. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good you are. If you add accountability, you're going to be better at whatever it is that you're doing. That's just how humans work. The thing is, though, you can start being accountable to something that you don't actually really want to do, something that's not even really smart to do, something that's not even aligned with your vision. But then someone holds you accountable and you start doing it and you take steps and it actually pushes you further in the wrong direction. And so, above everything, I'd say the vision is the first piece. I would then put the affirmations. And the way that I'm interpreting affirmations is about confidence. It's about what place in that higher on that scale are you at right now? Are you in a place of grief or shame, pride, anger, or are you in a place of courage? Are you in a place of acceptance? Are you in a place of reason or gratitude? Wherever you are on that scale is going to affect how clearly you see the future, and it's going to affect the future that you see. And once you know where you want to go, that's where I think the affirmations can really help you clarify who is that person, how do they speak to themselves, what are the beliefs that they have. And that can help to cement where you are, but it can also lift you up and help you expand your vision. And I'm going to come full circle to what we started with. When you're reviewing your 2024, in addition to learning the lessons, one of the most important things is that our ability to visualize the future is directly related to how confident we're feeling right now.
True.
If you ever talk to a salesperson, some days they're on, like, yeah, I don't know, there's days I'm just on fire. I could just make the sales. I know that when I pick up the phone, they're gonna answer, they're gonna buy. And there's other days where it's like, I couldn't sell a shoe to a Help me finish this analogy.
I can't finish that. I just realized I'm not that good of a marketer. I couldn't sell a shoe to a caterpillar. What about that? They have 100 feet.
Great. Nice. Great. That's a great one. Yeah. Love that. Thank you. Thank you, Carla.
The
Yeah. Well, I put myself on the spot first, and then I was hoping you could rescue me. But our confidence changes the future that we see. And one day we can feel like, oh yeah, things are going great, it's going to be awesome, which is probably not entirely true. But then other days when we're not doing so well, it's like, no, this is the worst idea ever. No one's going to buy what I have. I should quit on this idea. So the affirmations, to me, is really about that confidence piece. The same reason we review 2024, when we're in a place of high confidence, that's when we can create the biggest, most exciting vision. And then that vision shapes the process.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I really, really love that. I just wanna really like thank you and acknowledge you. You have a way of explaining things that are super simple and really easy to distill. And I have read probably hundreds of personal development books, audiobooks, but
Seven a
for this
month.
in a month, now those psychological thrillers are they're the opposite of personal development. It's just all gore, and I don't even know. That's probably something I need to process with my therapist. Why I love psychological thrillers. Well, actually, my favorite psychological thriller is My Credit Card Bill. So it comes every month. It's a wonderful surprise. It's a wonderful roller coaster. Yeah, I really like that tie on what affirmations really do, because affirmations, they're not just nice things that someone tells you. For me, there's a lot of affirmations. I know a lot of girls love affirmations too, especially with different parts of their lives. And it's cute, it's sexy, it's just like this soft female voice that will tell you nice things. But when you said that, what it really does is it's for confidence, because you make good promises to yourself when you're confident. It's like doing your wedding vows, right? When you say in sickness and in health, you usually make these promises in health. So this is why it's super positive, but then the divorce rate is like 51%. So that's a lot of confidence, and a great sign, a great like illustration, I would say. So Of course, with that, I want you to talk about the work that you do. And I know that there's two programs that you have that really distill everything that we talked about and puts it into action and puts it into positive results for other entrepreneurs. A lot of your clients have been raving about this, and I've seen all the good words, and that's why I invited you. So I know you have the 5-day challenge and the 6 a.m. club. So tell us about that. What is the 5-day challenge and the 6 a.m. club, and who are the people that would be a great fit for these programs?
Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, they're related programs, and one actually feeds into the other. And so the 5-day challenge is a taste, it's an experience. But basically, over the course of 5 days, people are creating a vision for what they want this month to look like. Now, right now I'm running a special edition for the year to create a vision for the year. But generally speaking, each month we meet and we create a vision for what we want this month to look like. And we look at various buckets of our life. That might be our physical health, our mental health. It could be our business or our finances. Each person's going to have different buckets. And then a lot of people create a comparison instead of a vision. And it's a comparison. You'll hear it because it sounds like, I want to lose some weight. I want to be in better health. I want to make more money. And those things don't mean anything without something to compare them to. And they're very vague. And so instead, we get people to create a vision. I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to have a six pack, or I want to whatever it is. And they create that exciting vision. The idea is that vision is going to pull them forward. And as they go through the month, and they get distracted, they get other goals that come up, the fires come up and they need to put out. This vision is going to be their North Star that pulls them forward, that when they need to make a decision, what should I do? Where do I go? Oh yeah, this thing. This is what I said is important. And it comes from the discipline comes from the Greek word disciple, or pronounced disciple actually. And basically what it means is to choose. A disciple is someone who's chosen what they're going to practice and get good at. And the idea of this program, both the 5-day challenge and the 6 a.m. club, is to help people remember to choose what's most important to them. And the vision is going to help set them up for that. The vision is going to help set them up so that when they have the dip, when they're feeling unconfident, when they're not sure things are working, when they're getting distracted, they have a place to come back to for simple, peaceful focus. And really, what the group is about is this concept of slow productivity and just staying consistent on the few things that matter, not getting caught up in the rest, having a peaceful approach, just getting better every single day at the thing that matters most.
Yeah, I love that because sometimes you also need, you can have all the mindsets and all the learnings and everything, but sometimes you really need like a structure and, of course, a guide. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs are not opposed to having a mentor, having a guide, and things like that. And doing this, obviously, not all the time, but having this burst of guidance, especially in the beginning of the year, is really good. So I know that Josh, you work with a lot of organizations as well, corporations. So if any of you guys want to gift this to your employees, definitely reach out to Josh about this. This is a great exercise to start their year right and to give them something that will really, really change their life for the better. This gift is way better than, a Starbucks gift card or whatever cash bonus you.
Pizza party.
A pizza party, all these cheesy corporate gifts, but this is something that will really help them get clear on their goals and also make them feel better about themselves as a person. So, don't hesitate to reach out to Josh. I'm going to link his Instagram and LinkedIn and his website, and then tell us about the 6 a.m. challenge. So, what is that?
Yeah, the 6 a.m. club
What
is
is the
so after
6 a.m.
this
club?
after these After these 5 days, we continue on with the accountability portion. So we meet these 5 days, we create this vision that pulls us forward. And then every single morning at 6 a.m. Pacific, I'll be there for these 90 days, every weekday. And we're going to start with some breath work. We're going to do a short little check-in and intention setting. And then we're going to have a check-in once a week. What did I accomplish this week in relation to my vision? And what am I going to accomplish the next week? And so there's no hiding. But within that, we get to learn and we get to grow and get to support each other and we get to see where we're really at. It's going to be a ton of fun. And the idea here is you're going to start this year creating more meaningful progress in these 90 days than you did in the entire last year. And it's not by doing more, it's by focusing on the things that truly matter, or that slow productivity.
Okay, tell us a little bit more about slow productivity. What is that? So it sounds, I know it's a new word for or a new phrase for a lot of people. What is slow productivity?
To me, slow productivity is really about flow. Instead of the I need to do more, the hustle, the more, it's the opposite. It's how can I eliminate the things out of the way? And when asked about the statue of David, Michelangelo was asked, he was asked, how did you create David? And he said, I just removed everything that wasn't David. And that's the concept that I want to bring forward here is that that's it. We just got to keep the stuff out that isn't the vision that we created for this. Just work on this stuff and keep the rest out. We don't have to hustle. We don't have to try to cram stuff in and multitask. Just keep the stuff out that isn't this.
Yeah, that's right. I love that. Obviously, I'm in the outsourcing business, so a lot of founders and entrepreneurs, business owners come to me and they're always so overwhelmed. And it's usually like a deeper problem, like, oh, my identity is tied to my business. If I'm not working, who am I? Like, and there's it could be like as deep as that, or it could be like they just don't know. They've been so used to doing everything on their own and not feeling the trust of handing something to someone that potentially is a better than them at the thing. And so I totally agree with you that sometimes a lot of clarity comes with removing things in your day, and whether that means delegation, automation, elimination, all of those things will help you just have a better experience as an entrepreneur, in your life, in your family, and of course your health. So thank you, Josh. Of course, I'm going to link those programs as well. So if you guys want to check that out, or if you want to follow Josh, I really, really recommend it. So for the finale, wild card, tell us about, do you have any bucket list goal or any out there wild card goal for 2025?
So it's not that crazy, but it's probably not typical. Part of the reason I actually created the 6 AM Club is after 2024, I realized there was a huge gap in my own personal development and my acceptance of myself. I talked about that shame stuff that people tend to hide. Yeah, I had a bunch of that stuff I was hiding. And I wanted to create a system that would allow me to grow through that throughout the year instead of waiting until the end of the year to finally unpack it. And so my goal is to grow in self-acceptance this year. And to do that, I'm going to create a report every single month on what were the most challenging experiences? What was most important? What did I learn? What humbled me? What was I proud of? I'm going to have a one-page report each month. And in fact, part of the 6 AM Club is I'm going to help the people with me create a report for themselves as well. And that's going to keep me accountable, is if I'm leading this group, I know that I'm going to do it. And so that's a forcing function I created for myself.
Nice. I love that. For me, it's just eliminating stress. I realized that even though I have a lot of free time and I am blessed to be able to pursue things that I like it's crazy when I share everything that I'm doing now. It's so busy. Like when you hear it out loud, it sounds so busy, but I managed to do it because I like it. I like these things. But I think that what really makes me tired or overwhelmed is certain stressors that shouldn't be there. So, for example, like there's just some things that I worry about that I shouldn't, basically. So, I think if I am more conscious, this my big thing this year is I'm just more conscious, is this a stressor or not? and just eliminating as many stressors as possible. And that's it. That's really it. And it doesn't mean that I need to book more massages at the spa, or I need to, in the past, that's how I dealt with it. I'm like, oh, I'm so stressed. Let me go to the spa. And it almost felt like a thing for me. And it's almost like drinking alcohol, but slightly more healthy. Before I was like, oh, what a day. I need a drink. But now I'm like, I need a massage. And yes, it's slightly better, but also I'm starting to form, I'm not getting to the issue of what is the stressor. Does it even deserve to be a stressor? So that's what I'm gonna focus on this year emotionally. And crazy bucket list is I want to win something. I want to I have this vision of winning something this year, whether that's a raffle or first place at a poker tournament or something else. I don't know, but I have that big vision.
Amazing.
I hope I win a raffle, like a Tesla or something, or the lottery.
Amazing. It's beautiful, Carla. I do have a hot date that I need to get to. I'm going to be
Yes,
late
Miss
otherwise.
Mango.
But this was great. I love every time that we connect, and I'm not sure what it looks like, but I'd love to bring our spheres more closer together. I'm not sure how I could support you in whatever it is that you're up to, but I'd love to be more involved.
Likewise, yeah, let's definitely connect on that. And I know time zones are crazy, but we'll make it happen. So, well, thank you so much, Josh, for being here. This has been a very awesome conversation. I know that a lot of our listeners are have benefited a lot from this. Guys, definitely take it a little bit slow. You can re-listen to this podcast over and over again until it lands. Journal on it, meditate on it, sleep on it, and but don't let it go to waste. So follow Josh. I have linked his socials on the show notes, and I'm sure 100% he's going to bring a lot of value into your life. Thank you so much, Josh, for being here, and have a good day.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.